That's better. We are actually live. We've been live for about a minute.
Oh, this is great.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
fun. Hi, everyone. This is another episode of On.NET. And today we have Alfonso with us to talk about a fabulous tool that is called Fable.
Yes.
Hi, Alfonso. Oh, we can't hear you for some reason now. You need to stop sharing your screen as well, because the point is that we see you.
There we go.
And we did the sound check and everything, and it was fine, and we could hear Alfonso, and now we can't.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
He's definitely talking.
Working? No.
Oh, there you go. We can hear you.
Okay,
yes. Fantastic. All right. So let's do this again. This is On.NET. Hi, Alfonso.
Hi, Gotan.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about yourself. What's your day job? Why did you start Fable? That sort of thing.
So, I'm a developer for some years. I actually, I didn't get a degree from the university. I'm a linguist, so I just started development doing applications for translation. But right now I do different kind of applications. I started with Excel macros, VB, Visual Basic. Then I moved to C Sharp, and then I discovered F Sharp, and then I fell in love with functional programming and also with the F Sharp community, and I started to get more and more involved. And at the same time, I also wanted to do web development, but I wanted to use F# for web development. So I was looking for alternatives to be able to compile F# to JavaScript. And there were a couple of projects, but because of recent other projects that I could use, the F# compiler services and also Babel, which is a compiler, JavaScript compiler, that were developed last year. And I saw an opportunity there to use them. So I started this new project, which is called Fable. It's very, very easy to use some words. And I think it's been very welcomed by the community, which makes me very happy. So there are many people using it now. And it's a great experience to have this open source journey with the F# community.
Okay, so
about my job, and I'm currently working for NSYNC. That they maybe later when we are sharing the screen, I can show you the web page, because it's very cool. We are doing cool stuff with augmented reality and live art digital live performances.
Yeah, I'd love to see that. But hold on. So you have no formal computer science training, and you write compilers?
It's interesting, because I think that it's more or less the same story for the guy who wrote Babel. But it's not. I'm not going to say that it's a very sophisticated compiler. So it's actually.
And it's a technically it's a transpiler, right? We shouldn't say compiler, should we?
The lines get blurred between transpiler and compiler these days.
Yes.
Yeah, it can be. I'm just taking it because I can take the F# compiler services. It's giving you it's parsing all the code and making most of the work for me. So this is very easy. And also I can take also this Babel, which is actually generating the JavaScript code. So it's good that in open source you can you can stand on the shoulder of giants, and it's not that difficult. I cannot say that I'm such a smart guy.
So that's a really good point. Actually, you have lots of tools today when you want to write something like a compiler or DSL or something like that. You can really start with parsers that are off the shelf and just configure them, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And and then you have tools like LLVM that also help. And
I haven't really used Fable a whole lot, but I have used it, and I had the opportunity to actually meet Alfonso in person at the F# Exchange in London, which is this incredible conference. And just sort of one of the things that I think is really great about Fable from how I've used it, and Alfonso can talk about this a lot more than I can, obviously, is that it's it doesn't really hide things from you. It's like, you know, oh, well, your environment is JavaScript. And so there are a couple subtle differences between your F-sharp and, you know, your code that ultimately executes in the browser. But that enables you to just use stuff in the JavaScript ecosystem, which I think is the really important thing, because it doesn't create this entire universe that is separate from JavaScript, separate from F-sharp.
Yeah, it's not really like an applet where you execute your code in a closed box. Mm-hmm. It really is about integrating with the environment and everything. And that is fantastic.
Yeah, and that's the sense that I get when I use it, which is awesome.
What I find really impressive, and we'll see that in the demo, is how integrated it is with even the tooling that you have in the browser, and being able to debug that stuff in the browser, debugging the F-sharp code, not the resulting JavaScript code, is fantastic. And I was involved a few years ago with when Nikhil Kothari made his C-sharp to JavaScript transpiler. And at the time, source map and all that stuff didn't exist. So now we have those tools in the browser that make it actually possible to use those debuggers with a language that is very different from JavaScript.
So. Yeah. Yeah, so...
And we're talking too much. Yeah. We're not anything else.
Exactly. Yeah. We should just let Alfonso talk about this because he's actually the expert.
Yeah.
Actually, you made a very good point, because this one very important guideline of Fable, that is the integration with the JavaScript development environment and the tools and the ecosystem and the libraries, because there are several compilers from .NET to JavaScript, especially from C#, and they usually take this approach of trying to hide things from the developer. And so you can take .NET developers and maybe people who are accustomed to XAML or this kind of Windows development, and making this easier for them to put everything in the web. But they still didn't know this. Everything is like in a box, and it's difficult for them to know actually the real ecosystem they are trying to get into. So F-sharp is, Fable is not doing this. It's just integrating everything. So taking the F-sharp developer directly into the JavaScript ecosystem as a first-class citizen. And for some people, it's a drawback, because it forces you to know the JavaScript development, and we know. I like it. It's very vibrant. It's a real a great community. I got a lot of help from the people of the authors and the maintainers of the JavaScript tools that Fable is using. But it's true that sometimes it's a bit crazy, and there are too many things happening at a very fast pace. Mm-hmm. So for some people, for some developers, this can be a bit threatening. But I think it's worth it, and for me personally, it's the way to go. But of course, it's good that we have many options. Mm-hmm. And in F-Sharp, for example, we also have WebSharper, which is a tool that also allows you to be in a bit closer environment, which is also good if it's what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess the way that I like to describe Fable is that it's like a very honest compiler, which is important, because ultimately when you're building something that is significant in size, you're going to need to dive into like the smaller details, the little subtle differences between things. And if you're in a world where it's not the same as the rest of the JavaScript ecosystem that you're trying to integrate with, then that's problematic. But in the case of Fable, because it is a part of that world, it's just everything works the way that the other JavaScript stuff works. And that's that sort of consistency, I think, is really important.
Yep.
Yeah. And also like the F#, the flexibility of the language, because it's, for example, C#, I love the language as well, but it has a more rigid structure, so you have to structure everything using classes, for example, and F# uses models, and this makes it closer to JavaScript, because also the model structuring is very important in JavaScript, and using inner functions and things like this that we know have them in C# as well, but I think it's easier to mimic F# programming to JavaScript.
Yeah, and I think that's because JavaScript, you can do some pretty good functional programming in JavaScript. And so that's why whenever I talk about Fable to people who aren't familiar with it, I say it's a compiler that emits good JavaScript, which is crazy, because if you look at the compiled output of it, it's good JavaScript that it emits. It's not just some like crazy goop that happens to run in the browser. Like you could look at it and be, oh, well, that I can actually read this and it makes sense to me.
Yeah, and actually that brings another question. How closely do you keep up with changes in the ECMAScript specification?
So basically, that's one of the things that Babel is doing for us, because Babel is taking care of transpiling everything to all JavaScript if necessary. So since the very beginning, I was targeting, because I had Babel in mind, I'm targeting ECMAScript 6, so we are using some of the new features like classes or these modules, ECMAScript 6 modules, and lambdas, for example, which has this capture this context and things like this. So this makes it much easier to keep the FSR semantics into JavaScript, and then Babel just takes care of translating this to all JavaScript if you want to run it.
So you have always been targeting up-level JavaScript.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, I think it'd be really cool to sort of show Alfonso, if you could show us kind of how you can get started with Fable today and kind of walking through just all of the cool stuff, because there's some really, really neat stuff in there.
It's really amazing. Yeah,
I think everybody needs to see this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I should share the screen then.
Okay.
Let's go. You can see now.
Yep.
So first, I'll show the Fable webpage. It's very simple. It's fable.io. Mm-hmm. So easy to remember. Here you have samples, for example, that you can directly play on the web. And you can also see the source code commented. And because we have F# formatting here as well, you even have tooltips. And
so what we were seeing above. Here, this is actually running, right? It's not a video.
Yes. Yeah. So you can just open the developer tools. Can you see them?
Mm-hmm.
This is actually should go to the Osmo. Yeah, here it is.
Yep.
Wow. So you actually have the F-star code here, and you can should be able to
set a breakpoint. Yeah.
Debug it as well. So you see now it's stop.
Yep.
And you can see the values here. Sometimes it may have some quirks because the source maps are not perfect. Mm-hmm. But in general, you can set the breakpoints. You can you can see the values.
Uh-huh.
And in the last case, because we are outputting very readable JavaScript, as Philip said, you can just go to this is the JavaScript generated, so you can just go there. And as you see, it's actually very easy to read if necessary.
Yeah, it's got like proper names and things. I mean, that looks like a JavaScript developer would have just written that.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't look generated at all.
Yeah.
And it looks really good.
And just like, holy crap, he just set a breakpoint in an F# script file running in the browser.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right.
It's pretty powerful.
So I'm going to talk. We have, at the moment, we have two versions out there in the market. I'm just talking about the market, but it's open source. Don't worry. So we have the stable version, which is stable 0.7. But we have also the one that I'll be talking about today, which is 1.0 beta. You can go to the, actually I don't have, here, it's the link to the blog, sorry. Here's the announcement. And one important thing about the 1.0 version is that we are integrating with the .NET SDK, and we are using the new F# project format that was mostly developed by Enrico Sada. Mm-hmm. And as you can see, it's much, much easier than the old project format that you had a lot of XML code that it was very difficult to read, and especially for people coming from JS, it was like impossible, and it was one of the things that it was putting them off of using the tool. So
mm-hmm.
I think this is also very good. And we have some, we'll see them live in a moment. We have some comments using .NET SDK, that also make it very easy to develop. And we are integrating with JavaScript development tools like Webpack. Webpack is a bundler that can also do hot reloading, and it's also really, really useful. We are in the right now. We are in the middle of a discussion with the community, saying because I'm trying to bring together the best of the .NET world and also the best of the JavaScript world. Mm-hmm. But it's true that for some people, sometimes they find it confusing because they have to interact with two ecosystems. So we are right now in the discussing if we should go full JavaScript or not. But I think it won't change that much the workflow. But I just want you if maybe in a few weeks the commands that you have to write they will be mm-hmm. maybe a bit different. But so we find so
about how many people contribute to the project right now?
Ah, interesting. So that's a very good question because right now we are looking for maintainers because the tool has grown very, very big and we have a very big, quite a big community and it's difficult for me to keep up with all the, actually, let's go here, sorry, to keep up with everything. So I'm looking for maintainers. We have quite, as you can see here, we have 55 contributors. Mm-hmm. Of course, in open source projects, not that everybody is contributing full time, but at the moment it will be just me, the core maintainer. But we are we want to solve that. So it's
I saw that issue this morning, and it looks like even things, you know, like helping with documentation and helping maintenance of samples and things like that. I mean, that sort of stuff is really appreciated in open source community. And so, cool.
But let's jump to the code very quickly. Cool. So I have a couple of samples here. So, so this was actually done by a person in a workshop. Our favorite workshop led by Matthias Brandevinda. I want to attribute, but I just forgot that I had the link and I forgot, so I need to ask him again. So who was the author? But
so this but is yeah, a person learning Fable built this?
Yeah, it was a person that in just 1 hour it built this very simple but quite cool canvas browser canvas sample.
Okay.
That we can see right now. We have the instructions here, so as you can see. We have because we are using NPM dependencies from JavaScript, and we are also using .NET dependencies. So we have to install them, but I have them already installed for you. So mm-hmm. this is the command. Fable is right now a new .NET SDK CLI tool. So mm-hmm. we just need to do this to run it. And with this, I'm starting a Webpack development server, which is a static local host server, but it has the ability to. Oh, I think I already have it running somewhere. Sorry for that. Okay. It was here. Okay, let's try again. So the cool thing about Webpack is just taking all the code and it's bundling it, so it's very easy. So if you see the HTML, I just have to make a reference to a single file. Mm-hmm. I don't have to manage all the dependencies. And with JavaScript, you can see here all the dependencies that mm-hmm. are usually for a typical JavaScript project. So it can be a bit crazy. So thanks to Webpack, we can forget about this. And also, you will see we'll have hot reloading, which I think is something very, very important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it changes the way you develop. And it's also very important when you are learning a language because you can see very quickly what it's doing to. Okay. Let's wait for a moment. It's a bit slow now. I don't know, maybe.
There you go.
Okay. Here you go. So the cool thing is with this that we have just single file.
So this is just a single F sharp file. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That we can just, you see here we have particles and we have changed. Webpack has detected automatically. I think I'm demanding too much of my CPU and it's going a bit slow.
Yeah, because you're also streaming the video. So.
Yeah, yeah. I promise that it's usually faster, okay?
Yeah.
So don't worry if it's
yeah, slow. Everything is faster when you're not streaming high definition video.
Yeah.
Well, so this is really cool. So you didn't have to like recompile the project, do some sort of build, some sort of launching with npm or anything like that. You just saved the file and there it is in the browser.
Didn't even refresh the browser.
So I didn't have to. I don't have to hit the button. So I just save and. Everything's coming. So here,
it's actually important that you don't have to refresh the browser, because if you're in the middle of a debugging session and your application has state, then your state gets maintained if you do that. So the what needs to change changes, and the state remains the same.
Well,
so.
This a bit different thing. We have it's something we call about the hot reloading. Just refresh the page, and sometimes. We call that about the hot model replacement. That's also possible by for Webpack, but it needs some extra configuration, and we don't use it at the moment, but it's possible as well. Mm-hmm. But it's a bit different thing.
I see. Mm-hmm.
So one of the important things that, for example, I like TypeScript as well, and one of the usual sell points of TypeScript is that it can integrate very well with the JavaScript development environment, so you don't have to rewrite the whole project just to use TypeScript. Mm-hmm. So it's the same with Babel and F-sharp, because we are just making F-sharp a first-class citizen of the JavaScript ecosystem, so it's not like it's living in a bubble. Mm-hmm. We can see we have this function here, this update particle, which is updating the position of the particles. So we are just going, instead of using it here, we are just going to comment this. And you can see here, we are going to update it. We are going to import it from this file.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see.
Okay, so you replaced the F-sharp code that you had with JavaScript code.
Yeah, and I think still thinking about it. Sorry, I think I'll have to reduce the number of recompilations in this demo, because the gravity is going very high, because I'm not using the I'm not using this function right now. So just to show you that it's actually using the JavaScript code, I'm going to change the I'm not going to update the X position. So you hear see here now that because the X position is not being updated, it's always only through the Y axis. But that's more. So if we can import JavaScript code to our EPSAR code, but we can do it the other way around. So we can just export our FSR code, this function here. We can just import it from JavaScript. So as you can see here, I'm just calling directly the FSR code.
That is too cool.
You are actually importing the .fs file, not the compiled. JavaScript file.
Thank you to the Webpack integration, because the Webpack is calling Fable when it doesn't know how to compile a file. So in this case, in an F-sharp file, so it will call Fable, and Fable will compile it for Webpack.
Mm-hmm.
So we can see here again, it will be because we have this one.
Yep.
So it's a bit, the gravity is a bit bigger. Remember, this function is updating the particles. Mm-hmm. I can say it by, no, let's try again, make it even more gravity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just absolutely incredible.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It just works exactly the way you expect. It's very impressive.
So I think that's one of the important things to output readable JavaScript code, because you can just take, in some few cases we have to mangle the names, but in this normal case that you are using just ASCII characters, you can just use the same name, so you don't have to worry about how is this spelling, how is this transformed in JavaScript or in the JavaScript code. No, just take an enum of the function.
So I have a question about the .NET dependencies, because here you're in JavaScript land, basically everything compiles down to JavaScript, that's fantastic. What about your .NET dependencies? How does that happen?
So at the moment, because this is using the FSR compiler, so it's parsing directly the FSR source code. It's not using IL code at all. So some compilers are just taking directly the IL code and compiling to JavaScript. But in this case, we are not doing this. This means that we cannot compile to JavaScript any .NET dependency. So right now we have, we only support you can see it here. So basically, we only support the FSR core, which we have some replacement, and we have the Fable core, which is also some a few functions to a few helpers to interact with JavaScript, and also some bindings with for the browser and so you can see here, for example, we have a browser, and these are document get elements name. Mm-hmm. So these are the, we can use this with IntelliSense here, if the CPU allows it. maybe too much.
Time.
Anyways, so this all contains the Fable core, but it's actually not compiling the IL code. This we have, if you go, the Fable documentation, we have FSR language and library compatibility, and you can see here the types, the classes from the BCL and also from the FSR core that we support. And
okay, so you have a small subset actually of the
It's not the whole BCL.
That makes sense. I just saw something that is pretty interesting to me. I noticed that there was under FSR core there was the tuples, and then under the JavaScript column it said array. That's because, I mean, there are no tuples in JavaScript from what I understand. So that's really interesting. So it looks like you sort of said, okay, well, here's a mapping from something in the .NET space into something that could be semantically similar to that in the JavaScript space. Interesting. Are there other places that are like that?
Yeah, actually, for this, I took inspiration from TypeScript, which is doing the same. In TypeScript, you have tuples, and they are compiled to JavaScript arrays. And this is very good because it is supporting, D3, for example, you know this visualization library? Mm-hmm. We have actually an example here with D3. And this library is using, it's a JavaScript library, but it's using tuples. So thanks to using tuples as arrays in JavaScript, it's possible to use.
I see.
So in this case, for example, translate is using, this is a tuple. That's the reason we need the double parentheses here. So D3 takes tuples, and thanks to compiling tuples as arrays, it's possible to interact with other JavaScript libraries that understand tuples this way as well.
That's just so cool that you can just call D3 like that.
And and we have option, the option type in FSR. This was a bit debatable, but it was We are actually erasing it, so you don't see it in the JavaScript code, and we replace none with null. But it also allows interaction with, for example, in TypeScript, you have these optional members, and it's possible to interact with them using the option type in F#.
Mm-hmm.
And also, for example, the sequence or actually this enumerable in the BCL,
mm-hmm.
We are translating to iterable, which is basically the, I think it's here somewhere. Yeah, you have some iterables here. So it's possible to send an iterable to a JavaScript library and mm-hmm. consume it from the code. And things, for example, we are trying to maximize these cases where we can map one type from the BCL to JavaScript, to a native JavaScript type. There are two advantages of this. One is that you get better performance because these types at the end, they are native types in the C++ implementation of the browser APIs.
Mm-hmm.
And in the second case, that it makes it very easy to interact with other libraries. So for example, the BCL dictionary, matchable dictionary, mm-hmm. is being translated to JavaScript map. And the hashset also to set, and we also the regular expressions. We just use the regular expressions in JavaScript. So I think this makes it very much more performant to use these types in JavaScript.
Mm-hmm. So in the case of regular expressions, for example, you have some differences in behavior between JavaScript and .NET. But these are the JavaScript regular expressions, and that's it, right?
Yeah. This is one of the we have a few caveats, and one of these that it's the regular expression. It will always behave as if you pass the regex option ECMAScript flag. So it means that you don't get negative look behind or name groups.
Mm-hmm.
But for most of the other things that if you try to some of the complicated patterns. Actually, it was one of my motivations to start contributing to PanScript, that was the previous project before Fable, was because I always kept forgetting the regex API in JavaScript. So I knew in .NET, and also Visual Studio gave me the auto-completion.
Uh-huh.
So I wanted to use it.
Yeah, so I can't remember the syntax here, so I will build a compiler. That makes sense.
Yeah, something. I will have hope. Maybe if my future me could tell my me at the that time that it will be much more work to create a compiler. Maybe I could have thought.
Yeah, well, we all know that's how great things are starting.
Exactly.
Right?
So. Yeah. Absolutely.
So, for example, you can go in the repo. We have the test, and if you go to the test, we have many things here. And basically, everything that is here, these tests are run twice. I run once with JavaScript and once with .NET.
Mm-hmm.
So it means that everything that's here, it's possible to use it. Even datetimes, because datetime is a bit crazy. It's not working very well in JavaScript.
Mm-hmm.
We are also comparing to the native date type, but. But actually, we support leap years here and things like adding months that is not working very well in JavaScript. But with the .NET semantics,
mm-hmm.
you can.
What about localization?
Localization, yeah, it's you mean about the culture, right? So
yeah.
This is not supported because we have the. So there are a few things, for example, pairs, sacked, or things that rely heavily on the platform. They are not supported because at the end we are just compiling to the date here,
right? So do you sometimes have to use libraries when the runtime is not enough? I mean, there are globalization libraries for JavaScript that reproduce behavior that is close enough to what you have in .NET. So would that be a possibility here?
Yeah, it's something that we are considering at the moment, because at the moment we just have Fable Core, which is the library that is coming with JavaScript, with Fable, sorry, with all the Fable projects. And at the beginning, I wanted to make it a very very thin, because it was it was being included in other projects. But now we have Webpack, and Webpack is doing tree shaking, which means that everything that you are not using, it will be eliminated from the bundle. And you also have tools like minifications and things like this. So right now we are thinking to try to use these libraries to improve the to expand the VCL support.
Mm-hmm, cool. That's really cool. I'm certainly not as good at JavaScript as Bertrand is. He's more of a web developer, but I'm more of an F# developer. And so some of the reason why Fable is attractive to me is I like my types and I like the cool F# types. And I just really love the fact that you can use all this stuff. And I saw something on your screen where I saw what looked like you had div in there, but it was an F#, and it looked like it was using like div with a list or something, and it looked like sort of like a DSL or something. I was curious what that was.
Yeah, okay, let's go with that. So first I'm going to talk about this very cool project. I think I'm very happy about this, because this one, I hope that in the future we'll get more of this, but this is one of the projects that I have spawned from Fable, and I have almost done anything, nothing here. So this contribution from Eugene and this guy here and other contributors. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, when you start having projects spawning from the root project, that's a really good sign.
Yeah. So at the beginning we had this this idea, because Fable is not compromised with any architecture or framework, but right now we are just promoting this as the default way to create web apps with Fable, because it works very well. And I think this is the best example of the Fable spirit, which is just to integrate and unite and not trying to reinvent the wheel all the time. Mm-hmm. So in this case, we are using things that work. We are using F#, and as Philip said, all the language features and all the powerful features of the F# editors. And we are using ELMIS, which is the Elm architecture. It's a language, also a functional language compiling to JavaScript, which has gotten very popular. Mm-hmm. But actually, the architecture, you don't need to use the language for that. So this is one thing that if you want to use Elm, you have to learn a new language, and you have to use all the Elm tools. But it's possible to use Fable, to use the F# that is some language that you may know if you've already been working with a .NET platform. Mm-hmm. But you can just use the architecture. So you just have to read about it. You can read here in the Elm documents. And also, it's using React. So React's a very popular library by Facebook. And it's done to create web apps and using the like a template system, but your code directly becomes the template system. So it's at the very time, it's much easier because you already know how to code, and very powerful because you can do much more things that, with any other template system. So React is one of the good things about the React, that there are hundreds of components available. So if you want just to create a calendar or something like this, you can, in this page, for example, react.rocks, you can get a lot of components that you can just import to your application. So I think it's very good that that with Fable Elmis, you can take advantage of these three tools, the Elm architecture, F# language, and also React components. Mm-hmm. So how to start an Elmis project? So it's very simple, because we have this .NET SDK integration, and one of the cool things of the .NET SDK is the templates. So we see here templates, maybe again, so you can see here beta. So as you can see here, I have this template installed, which is Fable Elmis React. It's very simple to install. You just have to do .NET new, and install it like this. Okay, I already have it installed, so it's not needed. Mm-hmm. So now if I want to create Sorry, I have to write the name of the. I'm writing the name of the template, and I'm I want to say that I want to create the project in this folder. So as you can see, I already have it here. So I have everything. This array, a full working project, and it's ready to start. You have the instructions here. So again, you have to install the dependencies and then just doing the same command. And I already have the dependencies in the in this project, so let's use this one. So it'll be faster. So just, you can just have best. And while this is the this compiling, the first compilation, as you saw, it's it takes a bit longer, but the watch compilation are much faster when you are not streaming high quality video. And as you can see here, there's a, I'm not an expert of the Elm architecture, as I already said, I'm not the author of the library, but the very crash course is that you have a model, a single model for the whole application, and then you have an update function, and then every time that you want to change anything in the application, you just have to update this function. So.
Right, so it's sort of like this immutable model, and you use, right, so, yeah. so you update the function, and then it goes through and it updates everything underneath it. And there's, well, since it's I'm presumably running on React or running on Elm, it has the virtual DOM underneath, which does the diffing for you and manipulates the DOM in an efficient way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing that every time you, for example, this what Philip was talking about, that we have this. This is a very declarative language. I find it very funny that React developed this this library, but they found the need to develop a special language. So they created this JSX language, which is embedding HTML within JavaScript. But actually, with F Sharp, you don't have to create any special language because F Sharp is already expressive enough. So you can see here, this is just F Sharp code, compilable code, and.
It's like React's DSL, except
yes.
It has square brackets instead of angle brackets. But
yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. And of course, one of the great things that we have type checking, so mm-hmm. we try to. You see, so the F Sharp compiler we already told if. We make a mistake, typo, so very quickly, it tells me what I have to write. So mm-hmm. I have quick fix here. We are, this is a Visual Studio Code with INI, which is impressive. So mm-hmm. it's really, I really love using Visual Studio Code, which is an editor I love, and also using INI with it. So every time that, as Philip said, every time that you make any change, you will create the whole view again. But thanks to the virtual DOM, you don't have to worry about the app being slow because the virtual DOM is going to automatically detect what is needed to be updated in the real DOM. Mm-hmm. So the mental model is very simple. You just have a model. An update function and the views, and every time there's a change, you use the update function to update the model. So in this case here, you see that the state we have the update function here. This for the a very simple counter example.
I think we're having trouble getting your stream.
You don't see it?
No.
That's a bit it. So you see my face?
It's frozen right now.
Yeah, your face is frozen.
That's a bit. Okay, maybe.
Okay, so yeah, try to share your screen again.
Uh huh. Because the cool stuff is coming now. So now better.
Oh, hold on.
Almost.
Not yet.
Yeah, it's still showing a little loading bar on our side.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think it already looked cool, but here we go.
Yeah, it looks kind of bad, but we can see something.
Okay, so That's a bit, but anyways, I'll try to explain it very quickly. So here we have the application, an SPA, a single page application with navigation with, you can see here, how I hope that you can see it somehow. You can see how I can just tap it directly. And I'll see I have the typical Hello World model view controller sample of just type in Bertrand and Hello Bertrand, and I have it here. But a really cool thing about this is besides, for example, here I'm adding 10 because this is what I have in the function. But again, I have hot reloading, so I just put 50 here, and my web page is going to automatically restart after a while, and then I promise you this much faster when you are not streaming. Okay, here you go.
Yeah, we're having an image quality issue here.
I can kind of see it. There we go.
Yeah.
This is still really cool, though. So this is using F-sharp pattern matching here, and this is
just
looking at the code. And this is great because it's like this is beautiful F-sharp code.
And hold on, stop moving.
Sorry.
Stop moving.
There
so
we
that
go.
The
Perfect.
Yeah. Okay. So now we can see the code.
Ah, cool.
We can see. Okay. So this is the update function. So this is really the important one, right? So it looks like there's a message and a model, and I'm guessing the model is the representation of the UI, and the message is some sort of action that was initiated on the page. Okay.
So yeah, we have here types. So you can see here the model is very simple. The message is just union type in F#. So this great to do pattern matching. And so this is the thing that we say that you can do functional programming in JavaScript, but it's difficult to do because you need the tools and also the language is not prepared for immutability. So it's you have to be very self-disciplined. But with F#, this F# is the language leaving you the good way all the time. So I think it's also very good. You have type checking, but at the same time with type inference. So you can see here, I don't have to write the type, but the type is on there. And the code is very clean. And you have pattern matching, you have union type. So all the power
you get a lot of type checking out of this and a lot of safety, which I assume happens mostly at compile time.
Yes.
So the JavaScript code that would get generated from that would look like a switch, with strings instead of the stronger.
Yeah, it depends. Sometimes it's a switch, and sometimes just a nested ifs. It depends on on the situation.
Yeah.
But it's usually performant code. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's great because pattern matching in F# gives you exhaustive pattern matching, if anybody's not familiar with that. So Alfonso defined the message type there as being one of either increment, decrement, or reset. And if he did not pattern match across every single one of those, then it'll be a compiler warning because it'll say, hey, you did not account for all of these things. And then if you have warnings set up as errors, then it'll actually be an error.
So here you go. I just forgot to take care of the reset event, the reset case. And
there you go.
There we go.
The compiler is already telling me. And I should get a warning here as well. And it's now this time. Anyways, let's check the one of the other cool things. So we are talking all the time about the integration. And there's a tool I love for developing this kind of React tools. No, it's not this one. So. Yeah, basically, this is an extension for Chrome, also for Firefox, that gives you a lot of information about your. It gives you much more powerful debugging capabilities for your application. And this JavaScript development tool. So we have it here. Ooh, my laptop is. Maybe it's the time to upgrade. Real slow. Sorry for that.
Totally fine.
Oh, yeah, I love this tool.
You know it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you have this, and then you just move in the vents, and you get... It tells you everything that's been happening. So because we have messages and updates, and we have just single model, it's very good because you get the every time that you make a tiny change, it's a snapshot.
Yeah.
So you can just save it. And
yeah, it's like a VCR for your code. It's amazing.
You can just you see here, I can just go back and forth in time.
Yeah, but also,
it's amazing.
It's, just navigation, because navigation is also a change in the state. You can see here, navigation is also part of the state. So I go back, just go back here. And you have many, I think you have a chart here, which is also very cool. So you can see here what's happening every time that you're doing something. So for of course, for this sample, it's very simple. Then you can see here everything that's happening.
It's just
you can skip something, you can replay all the you see here. And there are actually many tools. I think that you can also print this out. It's something, for example, if you have somebody's testing your application, you can print it out and send it to the developer, and the developer can reproduce exactly the steps that were done to reproduce a bug or a specific situation.
Right.
And the good thing about this is that this is a JavaScript development tool. So we can just take advantage of it using Fable. So we don't have to recreate all the tools just to take advantage of using a very powerful language as F-sharp in our web applications.
Yeah, and that's really cool. And because the architecture is like message based in terms of when you want to do stuff, it's just so easy to use with this sort of snapshot feature. This is like, I mean, this is my first time looking at this tool, and this is really, really powerful.
Wow. So we have also here also React has the React development tools, and this basically it's very similar to the Elements view in the Chrome developer tools, but the problem is that the Elements view is going to show you the real DOM, we are talking about an abstraction of an abstraction with the virtual DOM that we are using. So this is what the React development tools give you, and it also tells you the properties of its component. It tells you the state. You can just look for them. I think here, sorry. So I can go to my counter and I see, okay, I have a, deep here with column like do let's look for this, and I think it's this. Anyway, I can just find the things. It will tell me the state. I think that we don't have many stateful components here because this is a functional application. But also, you have a state. It will tell you a state here. You can change it online with the debug tool. So it's also a very powerful tool. And again, we can use it because we are not trying to do any weird stuff. And we are just compiling to very, very standard JavaScript, what React development tools expect. And that's the reason that we can take it.
I think this is really important, and it's maybe the main takeaway here, which is that for a very long time, there were lots of people saying, yeah, I don't want to do client-side development because I hate JavaScript, or you know, mm-hmm. reasons like that. And then you could tell them, yeah, well, you have some higher level languages that you might like better that you can transpile to JavaScript. But then the problem was the integration with mm-hmm. the tooling and with mm-hmm. other libraries and so on. But that is no longer a problem. Now you can have the best of both worlds. You can use a language that you love, such as TypeScript or F#, and transpile it to JavaScript and still get all the benefits of all that tooling and all those libraries without losing fidelity. And I think that is really amazing.
That's absolutely a very good point. And it was TypeScript was an inspiration for me when developing Pebble, mm-hmm. because I wanted to do that. I think that there are many developers that they want to use some language or a more powerful language when developing JavaScript application, but they don't trust the ecosystem or it's they have to pay something to use the language. So we try to minimize the difference, the gap between normal JavaScript development and development with F# and Fable. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think when I see that, I my thoughts are, yeah, finally we're there. We can do this, and it works, and it's perfect. So excellent. Well, thank you.
So very, very quickly, what we saw, it was just the template. So it was what you get, it was a fully working project. What you get when you are installing the creating a new project with the Pebble Elmis React template. Mm-hmm. But we have also, for example, here we have the Pebble Soft scaffold, which is just a more it's very simple, but it's a project with more things, and it's also using the F# on the server side, using Swap, a very popular mm-hmm. F# library to create servers. But with the Pebble, you don't have to. Here in this case, it's very, very good because you can serve, for example, you can serve types. So in this case, you can serve types between this shirt between the client and the front end, mm-hmm. and I think it's also very good. But with Pebble, you can use any server, so it has no compromise at all with any particular architecture. So.
Very nice.
The good thing about this as well is that it's using So this here we are using Fake, which is also an F# tool to build and it makes it has a DSL to perform the most common build tools. Now we have in the C# world we have Cake. That I think is taking inspiration from Fake, but this been out for a very long time in the F# ecosystem.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. it's using an F# script as a DSL for running your build tasks.
Mm-hmm. So this is using also taking advantage of the .NET SDK, and with the .NET SDK we have also kind of hot reloading also for the .NET tools, which is this tool. Which is called so can you see it? Microsoft mm-hmm. .NET Watcher Tools.
Mm-hmm.
So with this, it's a very similar experience to what we have with Fable, that you can run your project and this tool will watch the source files for changes and will restart the tool if mm-hmm. Something is needed. So again, here you can see these are shared. We have server here. We are using the types mm-hmm. that in the client project we are using them as well.
That's
fantastic. So we have all the benefits. Mm. And I think it's here.
Yeah, and that's another thing where JavaScript had a unique advantage, which was that you could actually run it on the server with Node and on the client, and you had some rich interaction between the two. Now you can do the same thing with F#.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So these are, for example, some of the helpers that come from Fable Core, which is this actually using can interact with JSON.NET to it extends a bit JSON.NET capabilities to make it easier to interact with more FSR types like discriminating unit types or record types, mm-hmm. and make them also more readable when interacting with Fable.
Yeah, that's amazing. That was like one of the big value propositions of Node, and it's well, here it is for F#.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had another question that is
please
kind of unrelated. Do you have any thoughts about WebAssembly?
That's the question that always somebody asks. So the thing with WebAssembly is something that at the moment is designed to. There is some confusion about the WebAssembly at the moment. Mm-hmm. It's I think it's just following the SM.js guidelines, which were basically thought designed to compile C++ to JavaScript, which means that you don't have a garbage collection, for example. So it means that it's very difficult to compile a language like JavaScript, like F#, sorry, or C#, or even JavaScript. You cannot compile JavaScript to WebAssembly, mm-hmm. because you need this this garbage collection. Mm-hmm. So I think for the moment is the WebAssembly is just for something which is very CPU intensive. So you have a lot of number crunching, and you can write them in C or C++, and then using the ECMAScript, I think it's called. It's a compiler tool that mm-hmm. It converts C++ to SM.js, and then from this to WebAssembly. But at the moment, it's not possible to compile it from a high-level language that they use garbage collection. It says it's some people say that in the future it may support it, but not right now. So, mm-hmm. but it's possible. I have no sample about it yet. Sorry, but it's possible to get a WebAssembly library and load it from Fable and it using the runtime. So I think if you want something that there are already, I think some WebAssembly libraries to make like a image recognition or things very computer intensive that is also is not very easy to them with JavaScript. So you can import the library and just use it normally. I think I should actually do an example about that. Okay, I think this finally it's here, so you can see. Mm-hmm. I'm already okay. We have login. So in this case, we are interacting with it's not an SPA. It's not only an SPA because we are interacting with the server, so we have authentication and we have kind of a very simple database with a couple of books. And mm-hmm. by the way, you're interested in F#, you should be buying this book. So, you can add new books here. But the good thing, I think I'm not going to do it because it probably will take also some time. But with this, you can also, so for example, you see here the title, and I can go to the server. It's a wish list, sorry. So these are this taking the books from the database, and I can say okay, I'm going to change the case of the books to mm-hmm. uppercase. Mm-hmm. Again, you see this is this is the .NET Watch tool that it's watching my files, recompiling, and this doesn't have this is not the refreshing automatically the web page at the moment, but once done, I can just refresh. I think it's already done. Okay. it's still building, sorry. But once it's done, I'll get the title of the books in uppercase. And this not something coming from JavaScript. This coming from the server. Mm-hmm. So I think it's good that we can have a similar experience, you know, on both sides. So we can have this hot reloading experience. That when you are not streaming video, it's usually much better.
Okay. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Very so cool. Jazz, because it's May the 4th be with you day, so it's Star Wars Day.
Yes.
So I'm going to show something. I didn't have much time to prepare anything, so this is just a blatant copy. You can see it now?
Uh-huh. Yep.
See this this array in uppercase. So this blatant copy of this. I want to say one of the things about integrating with the JavaScript development is that the JavaScript now runs on many platforms, not only the web, but also on the server and also on mobile platforms and the desktop with GitHub Electron. This Visual Studio Code, for example, this is actually JavaScript application. So I think it's done in TypeScript, mm-hmm. but it's using JavaScript. So
yeah, it's TypeScript.
It's the powerful of JavaScript nowadays. So this also Fuse is we have we can compile also. We can create mobile applications using Fable and these kind of tools like Fuse or React Native. Mm-hmm. This was Dave Thomas that he started paying and created some libraries to interact with Fuse from Fable, but I think this is actually pretty cool, and I'm not going to explain about it, but I just saw this example, so I saw it just 1 hour ago, and I said, okay, maybe it's a very good example to show for the show to celebrate May the 4th day. So here you go. Where are you? So this tool, if you tools, mainly use a declarative language with they call UX. That's similar to SAML in a sense. It's an XML-based language to declare your interfaces declaratively. So it's very heavy on this language. Mm-hmm. But you can also use JavaScript to control the logic, and of course, because you can use Fable to compile to it. So this is the application. It's very simple. You see here, this is basically.
Mm. Okay, I see. So it's a little XML-ish sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's very, so in this case, we are just calling to the JavaScript file.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to be our EPSAR code. So as you can see here, it's just really, really, really simple. Mm-hmm. It's just voting and just updating these values, and because we can just we are exporting this as a JavaScript wool spec, we can go from the UX file, we can just call directly the function with the name from the this kind of like the bindings in the SAML files.
Yeah.
And we can take it. So here again, we have the readme that tells us to install the Fuse tools to run to install the dependencies. And then I go here and run this. Because this we have Webpack here also as well, but we don't have the Webpack development server because this is not a Webpack application.
Mm-hmm.
So I can just wow, it's really, really slow. So you can see that it's not Fable. It's just my whole computer is being slow.
Yeah, I've used Fable before on my own machine, and it's quite fast.
Yeah. We can make it faster, but yeah. So it's basically the hot reloading experience, because you get some seconds at the beginning and the full compilation, but then the watch compilations are really fast, though. Mm-hmm. I think that's good. They don't interrupt, they don't disturb your development flow. This is something very important. And being able to immediately see the changes this makes you, this encourages you to try things and don't being afraid of making changes to your application, because you can just change. You see the change automatically being displayed on screen, so you can check if it works, it doesn't work, so mm-hmm. you can keep on that way. So I think it changes completely the way you develop.
Yeah, it's a much more interactive development flow. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it looks like Fuse is running right now.
Yeah. So again, this is going to take... It's fast, it's fast. This one, I like it because it's fast, but yeah, not now, not today, sorry. You can make me any questions while it's building.
Well, I guess it would require showing stuff, which may just make stuff even slower. But I knew that one of the things I'm working on, because I work on F sharp, is the rather large and ongoing pull request by the mysterious Ncave on GitHub, who has made it so that the F sharp compiler service effectively has Fable support, so that you could run it in the browser itself.
That's right.
And so there's a REPL where you can write F-sharp code in the browser, and it executes it just as JavaScript there. And it doesn't need to hit a network. It doesn't go over the network to hit a compiler and that sort of stuff, just entirely in there. Oh, yeah, right here. This is the Fable REPL.
So here it is. We need to improve it, and we want to add some auto-completion taking directly in the IDE, but you have it here, and as Philip said, this is it's just downloading at the beginning some the necessary stuff from the code. But after that, everything is happening in the browser. So
that's you amazing. Get
it's yeah. So it's the whole. Well, it's not the IL emitting stuff, but it's the whole F# compiler. It's compiled to JavaScript and being run on the browser.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
It's funny because it's not emitting IL, but it's reading IL because it's downloading the assemblies. It's they are needed for the F# compiler to read the BCL types.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so I think this might just appear a little slower as well because it's running in your browser and you got all these other things going on. But so I've used it before as well, and it's pretty fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It takes a bit. There is always like a warm up time for the F# compiler because it's loading all the assemblies. Mm-hmm. But after that, it's usually fast. We have we want to make it even faster. It's of course there's room for improvement. And we have, for example, the Buckle script, this OCaml also compiler to JavaScript. Mm-hmm. It's really, really fast, and we like to get closer to it. Everything is slow. I should have bought this. Maybe I should have used the desktop, probably. But I didn't have a camera. Anyways. Oh my God, it's too. I should close things. Anyways, let's go very quickly to the, so we can close the tabs, and because we all know that Chrome is very memory hungry. Yeah. And let's close some tabs and explain about them. So first, we have this awesome Fable. We saw the website, but this awesome Fable repo, it's trying to compile some of the tools and the and the post that have been published recently about Fable. So mm-hmm. we have some videos and libraries and the tools that we just saw. So it's very, if you're interested in Fable, you can also check it for more resources.
Yeah, send me the links after the show and I'll put them in the description.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh, right. I'll do it. This is actually my company. I told you it's really cool. So we are doing this kind of stuff to make a shows, for example, for car companies and using augmented reality, also sometimes ballets and controlling lights and making all kind of cool stuff.
Nice.
And that's all compiled via Fable as well, right?
not all, but we are using Fable in that company. They actually hired me because of Fable, so I'm very happy of that.
Nice. Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's always nice to see open source being useful in your career.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So making some money off of it. So this Ionite, we already talked about Ionite, which is the extension, Visual Studio extension for Visual Studio Code and Atom. Mm-hmm. That it's so cool and makes development so pleasant with FSR and Visual Studio Code. Mm-hmm. And this is using Fable because Visual Studio Code extensions, they are done in JavaScript. Mm-hmm. So this programming F-sharp and it's been converted to JavaScript using Fable.
Oh, of course. Yeah, that makes sense.
Another example of Fable just being used by lots of different people.
Yeah.
And we have here this very incredible project by Thomas Petrusiger, one of the most important contributors to the F-sharp ecosystem. And this is, I think this raid is trying to change the way that we see journalist articles in the web, that we have all these interactive capabilities, but we are not using them in the full potential. And Thomas is very interested in minimizing the distance between the data and the final user. Mm. So mm-hmm. it makes possible to, for the average user, it makes it easy to interact with charts, for example. But also for power users, as you can see here, power users, they get kind of a programming language that without contemplation and everything that they can use to modify the what is being displayed.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. So I think Olympics. So here, for example, is for the Olympics last year that we have. Here, we have loading. We have Ionite, the REPL. Ah, this is working here, actually.
Yeah.
Okay, this is already working. So, yeah, I start showing something, and then I go back to the previous thing that has already finished working. So, here, as you can see, if I change something, Sudoku, this is from Stephen Parkman, and it's something to solve Sudokus. So you can see there's no call here. This is not hitting any server to compile. And it's compiling. It usually takes 1 or 2 seconds, but now it's a bit slower. Maybe we can see. I think actually now, for example, here we have an example of a factorial and a recursive function. And this is one of the cool things that optimizations that Fable is doing, that it's converting them to a while loop. Mm-hmm. So it means that you won't fall into an Stack Overflow exception. No, we go back here. Hey, uh-huh. We have the Olympic medals. So you have here the Olympic medals that the power user can go to the source and they can edit it. So, for example, let's say I don't want to hide the gold column. I don't know if there's a repress button here. Repress here. Okay. And then you should see something. Anyway, I hope the viewers they can go there here to the gamma.net. So then I get the tools. I think it'll be a much better experience if the viewers they can go and visit the gamma.net and give it a quick try, because it's really, really a fun experience, and it changes the way that you think about these charts that are usually displayed nowadays in the online newspapers. Mm-hmm. But this way, if you have this knowledge and you can go further, so this enables you to go further and be closer to the data. And this is already finished.
And there's the answer down below.
Mm-hmm. As you can see here, it's really, really readable JavaScript code.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you wouldn't think that this is being generated by a computer. So we have, for example, the way that EPSAR does the Fluent APIs. So it's more or less like Link in C Sharp. Mm-hmm. And we still have it here. And it's nice because the what Fable is doing is just optimizing them just to nested calls. So in your code, you can have it very nicely. It's very readable. It's top down, so it's more or less the way we naturally read. And but the code is just going to convert to just nest the call, that it will be much, much faster, even than on a Fluent API. Mm-hmm. And I think we also have very, very simple, just a voting app where Princess Leia? I don't know very well the Star Wars world, sorry. But, I know. You don't have time
but,
to cut off.
Yeah, there are more cookies on the dark side.
Yeah, something like this. So Darth Vader and Leia, they are fighting.
Very cool.
And again, this is not mine. This is coming from the from Houston. But just to show how easy it is to convert it to EPSAR. So if you will want to give more power to Leia, so he can have a better chance against Darth Vader. Again, we can just recompile. And you see, it actually was quite fast. So now it's much more powerful because it's just adding 10, okay? Mm-hmm. So.
Wonderful.
But Darth Vader.
Excellent.
Gets,
all right. We should probably wrap up at this time.
Mm-hmm. That's all from my side.
We've been going for an hour and 20 minutes.
Wow.
Which is longer than usual.
That's fine.
But it's fascinating, and I hope people watching this will agree that this was worth their time.
Yeah,
well, thanks again, Alfonso, for being on the show.
Thanks to you for
and time. You know, your stuff is fantastic, and if you want to come back on the show, just let me know if you have something to show, and we'll arrange it.
Mm-hmm. That'd be awesome. Yeah.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
So I'll switch back to you. If you want to stop sharing your screen and say bye-bye. Okay.
That's true. That's okay. Here we are.
All right.
Hey, can you see me now?
Yes.
So thanks a lot, everybody, for watching, and thanks again for inviting me to the show. It's been a pleasure to talk to you again, Philip.
Absolutely.
And any question that you may have, we are there. We have also a Gitter channel, but you can just go to the Fable website and everything's
yeah,
there.
Yeah, just give me all the links. I'll put them in the description, and people can get involved and chat and try to get the beats and everything. All right, thanks everyone. Bye.
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 Run there and stop the stream.